This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
The man's got guts. He's got oranges the size of beach balls.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say. Here I stand. I'm not backing down.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Hey, we have sprung forward, ladies and gentlemen.
Ta-da!
And here we are on a Monday afternoon. It's beautiful, beautiful out. You know what I did yesterday to enjoy the weather?
Nothing.
I did a little yard work. I got out there with the wheelbarrow that I bought last year. I found out that I have kind of melted the handles on the wheelbarrow because it outside. The glue seems to have like slipped off the handles, and I raked the yard, and now I need mulch because I got no mulch. But it was a beautiful, beautiful weekend. I hope everyone enjoyed it.
Heck yeah.
Let me take you back, though, just briefly to Friday and the fish fry. We got another one coming up this week in Cottleville. It's going to be great. But Fred, I got to tell you something, and I want to apologize because I feel badly. Was the guy's name that brought Alexa the birthday cake?
Louie. Yep.
Louie, God bless you, and I got to do something to pay
him
back.
He brought her a cake?
Oh,
I missed the whole thing. When did that happen?
Well,
how cute is that?
It didn't happen because she didn't come, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So here's the deal. I'd been kind of promoting. It's my fault, if you want to know the truth. I said, my daughter's going to try to come. My wife did tell me they were going to come after school, and then we were going to sing happy birthday. So Louie, who was basically the bouncer at the fish fry, he was the guy, when you walked into the door, he had a Mark Reardon Show shirt on because we gifted him that. And when I left, I went up to him, and I apologized. I said, oh, man, I feel bad, but they kind of called an audible. And there were some issues with the friends that affected this as well with transportation. And he gave me the cake, and it was from Dairy Queen. It was awesome. He even had,
That's so nice.
Top of the cake said, happy birthday, Alexa.
Aww.
So, Louie, rest assured, the cake was enjoyed. There might be a little bit of it left for me tonight. But one of the issues that I have, because I was thinking about this, I would like Alexa to come by in person and thank Louie. But here's the issue with that. Friday, we're going to another fish fry, and he's going to be there on Friday. So, Fred, if you can maybe find out how we can get a hold of him, if that's possible, that would help me out because I do want to thank him, and I want to get him something from my daughter who did have a good birthday. She turned 10 Saturday, and it was a good birthday weekend. My son turned 25 on Friday, so we had a lot of fun. We had some Zoom calls with the grandbaby in Houston as well. So telecommunication is awesome when you have kids spread out all over the country. Then there's Mizzou. Let me mention that. I went to Columbia on Saturday, and I don't know. Fred, you even pointed this out. I'm so dumb. A couple of weeks ago, I said, hey, you know, if they run the table here, they could be like a 2 or 3 seed, and they have proceeded to lose 4 out of 5.
Yeah, they've
fallen off
the
table.
I did do it, didn't I?
It's all on you.
Oh, my God. So now we're looking at, look, you could literally slide into the NCAA tournament if you lose on Thursday to, I think it's Ole Miss. Is it Mississippi State or Ole Miss or LSU?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, whatever. They play someone that they shouldn't lose to, that they might lose to, and if you lose again, there's four losses in a row, and that might move you like to the 7 line. I'm still seeing a 5 seed.
Yeah,
I think
so, too. And then
what happened with SLU, because they had a good weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a senior night on Saturday, and it was just a very, like, should have been a huge win. But it was, they eked it out at the end.
But they have to win their tournament, the A-10 tournament,
probably,
in order to get the bid. And then, you know, yes. I was watching a lot of the Missouri Valley stuff. The games were really good in Missouri Valley until the final yesterday. Did you see the final?
No.
And that was kind of
who was it?
It was Drake and Bradley, wasn't it?
Did you see who stole the show, though?
I didn't. The mascot.
The Bulldog.
No,
now
I didn't.
The Drake
Bulldog was adorable. He was just chilling all over the place. At the end, they put him on the podium, and they put a shirt and a hat on him, and he's just chilling there with his just casual, neutral Bulldog face, and he's got a hat on to the side. It was so funny.
Well, the Bulldogs beat the Braves 63-48. So, you know, that's a team like Drake. By the way, oh my God, they're 31-3. But that's a team that Mizzou could face.
You know,
they could be, what would they be, like a 13, maybe a 12, 13,
probably,
14,
but,
right?
And Frank Cusumano's brought this up on previous segments that he's been on. That Drake team, their coach came from Northwest Missouri State, and he brought a lot of transfers.
Oh, that's right.
They're now one of the best shooting teams in the country, and they all just came from a small Missouri school.
Love it.
He pointed that out. Thank you for reminding me. You know, it's interesting, though, that Northwest Missouri State team has won maybe Division III championship.
Two.
They got a good program over there,
they
right?
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
They're in the tournament again this year.
Other thing that we're tracking today is if you had any retirement savings, it's all gone, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to work just a few more decades longer because the stock market has tanked today. Here's what I would say about that, because I kind of get freaked out about some of this stuff, mainly because of my age. And what I would say is, you know, Time is, it's time to be patient, I guess, because it does not look good on Wall Street today. There's a lot of reaction to the tariffs, to the recession talk, to the, just the unease in Washington. But every time this happens, we seem to rebound in fine fashion. There have been a lot of people that have been predicting a correction for a while. If this is a correction, I'm not exactly sure. We're going to find out, though. We'll track it this week, but it was not a good day at all on Wall Street. We had an X outage as well today. Now, Ethan, I was sending him a bunch of different audio earlier in the day. Sue, I don't know if you noticed this, but the X, formerly Twitter, had a bunch of little outages from time to time, and it was a cyber attack is what we're finding out.
What? Oh, I didn't notice.
That's what we're hearing, and you know, I'm sure that they try to get these, especially with how politically affiliated Elon is, they probably get a lot of stuff like this, but they said that this was so big, it seemed like it was a very coordinated attack. So Twitter has been on and off here the last several hours, and fortunately it's back up right now, but it's kind of been back and forth today.
By the way, I didn't send this to you because this is really video and the audio wouldn't play, but there was a clip that went viral from the weekend with this dude who was literally probably crazy in New York City chasing down a Cybertruck. Like, Elon was not in the Cybertruck. It was just because it was a Cybertruck and it has cameras. So the dude who had the Cybertruck recorded the crazy guy in the rearview mirror, essentially, and you can see him just pounding on the car, and he's all upset because Elon made the car. That's how nuts we got.
There was a family in there. Poor kids in the back. You see this guy screaming.
Oh, is that what happened?
I was imagine if you're a kid and you got this crazy man smashing on your window. That would be pretty terrifying.
That would be terrifying. And then speaking of road issues, Sue, you might find this interesting. Look, and I don't like to make it all about myself, but I really do. But I want to bring this up because it is interesting what's happening in this area where I live, where Hillsborough Road has been closed, because, Sue, nobody knew it except for us. So then yesterday, there was a period yesterday, and this is an area, by the way, that is to, I guess you would describe it as the southwest. If you're heading on 44 towards Six Flags, easiest way for me to describe this, 141 is there. There's a Drury Inn, a Sugar Fire.
Yeah.
Right behind there, there's a little road. Merrimack Station is the road. It takes you to Hillsborough. There's two horse farms. Krause Farms is back there. There's a little pet rescue location as well. And then we live toward Paradise Valley, which is the golf course, and there's a neighborhood in there as well. So they shut down Hillsborough Road last week for about, we're told, 200 days. So yesterday I'm outside on my driveway, and we're literally the last subdivision before the road closes. There were 10 people in 15 minutes that came down the block, and they had no idea what was happening. There's not a sign that says no outlets, so they turn thinking that they can get out back to 44 or to 141 through our neighborhood, and then they can't. So listen to this. This was a guy that came through early Sunday morning on my street, decided to do this after they found out that they couldn't get out of the neighborhood here. They set off an alarm, I think. And this dude's going about 70 miles an hour in my neighborhood, and it's caught on all the security cams.
And that's a residential, a tiny street.
Yeah. We've got like 30 houses or something like that. But you know what's happening is, and I'm not justifying the mental aspect of this, but I know what's happening. You get to that road, you're like, crap, what do I do? You turn down my
right,
street.
Right.
Then you get to the end of the cul-de-sac, and you're like, well, I'm trapped. By the way, that's my existence now. And they get frustrated. But the thing is there's kids in this neighborhood, and someone's going to get hurt is my point. But it was, my daughter was like, there's a lot of grandmas and grandpas coming through here, because it really was. It was older people that were turning. They were very confused. And they do two things. Either they turn around like three or four houses in, they realize it, right? Or they go to the end of the block. There's like no in between.
Because, do you have a sign that says, you know, no outlet?
No, that's what I said. We need that. I'm actually trying to get that, because all it says is the road's closed, and then someone's actually moving that sign. It's just not a good situation.
Can you hand paint one like a stalker put it up? I mean, I think at this point you got to.
No, that is in the works if we can't get it from Valley Park or from St. Louis County. We have Dennis Hancock on this afternoon. I'll take these complaints right to him. He's my county councilman, but it's just a weird situation for sure.
Wow.
What else was I going to mention here as we get started? Whoa, holy smokes, here's another buried lead. Ted Nugent's coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We tried to get Uncle Ted on last week, and we had some issues. He's got really, this is fun, and I was unaware of it. They have this thing called the Nuge Vault, which is going to open on Friday at NUGE. You can go to tednugent.com. That's his website. But NugeVault.com is almost like a little personal backstage pass to go behind the scenes to see some videos and some early recordings by the Amboy Dukes. And the way that it's described on the website is really, really fun and cool. So we'll have Ted weigh in not only on music, but on the politics of the day. We mentioned George Rosenthal is coming up from Throttlenet. He was with us, ironically, on Friday at the Fish Fry, but this X thing has gotten kind of interesting. So we wanted to get him on here. Dennis Hancock will be with me. He's actually going to run for the Republican nomination for county executive. So we'll get with him on that. We got Cusimano. We got Susan Crabtree this afternoon, has written a book called Fool's Gold, The Radicals, Con Artists, and the Traitors who killed the California dream and now threaten us all. Also, Josh Krasauer from the Jewish Insider. He's a big political voice. You see him on Fox all the time. What was it that I wanted to get you, Ethan? What was the audio that I most loved here this afternoon? Was there something that I wanted
Abrams
to make?
No,
Stacey Abrams is pretty good. I can start with this. Let's do that. That's a good one. I like that. So, you know, we're in this Doge period right now. And let me also set the table this way. There's going to be some uncomfortability with the changes from the status quo. And you're going to hear that occasionally even from some guests who are, you know, inside the swamp that might not be too comfortable with the way some of this is falling down. I've been a supporter of most of it outside of the tariffs on Canada in particular, because I've just been so frustrated in seeing nothing happen. Like, nothing happened. Let me offer this example here. There's a story. I think this is a really, really good way to explain it. And I'll play some audio as well. So there's a story in the Washington Post today. Okay, and here's the headline. I was horrified by this. Listen to this. It says GOP spending bill would lead to $1 billion in D.C. cuts. City officials say, oh, this is our nation's capital, ladies and gentlemen. How can we, as a country, even consider remotely a cut taking $1 billion from our nation's capital? But here's the Washington swamp math, and I think most of you are smart enough to understand how this happens. There's a new bill. And we're going to get to it all. It's going to prevent, hopefully, a government shutdown, although some people might want the government shutdown right now. The reconciliation bill would make, this is so unfair, it's so mean, I'm almost going to come to tears here talking about it this afternoon. This bill would make Washington, D.C., I'm going to try to get out, revert to 2024 spending levels. Like,
no.
I know. So 2025, have you done the math on this yet? So if the headline says it's going to lead to $1 billion in cuts, what does that mean? That means the budget for 2025 is $1 billion more than 2024. So this is what happens all the time. We're talking about pre-COVID levels. This stuff has gotten so completely out of control. And then, of course, what does the Washington Post lead with here? Oh, police, schools, other services. It's always Chicken Little, the sky is falling. Here's this crazy radical idea, government, because government's the only entity on the planet that gets to do this. Businesses do this and people do it, but they have to file bankruptcy.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it does happen, We're all aware of that. But in government, they get to say, okay, we have a $30 billion budget, and then in 2025, we want $32 billion. And then in 2026, we want $34 billion. And then we want $38 billion. We always want to grow. We never want to go in the other direction because we're special. We get to suck off the taxpayers, right? Well, that's stopping. And that's what we're completely sick of. Now, wouldn't it be crazy, for example, for, let's say that, you know, we're looking at some of these cuts and Elon slicing and dicing, and this would be crazy. Like, think about this. What if you would find a program where literally billions of dollars of taxpayer money that we've sent to Washington would simply go to poor people in Georgia and elsewhere so they can have new dishwashers and washers and dryers and stuff like that. Do you think that that's a good deal? Hmm. Because that's exactly the deal that we have exposed here with Stacey Abrams and Georgia. And Trump mentioned this. And here's what I want you to hear. This is Chris Hayes on MSNBC talking about this. I think he's kind of completely aloof to the real issue here is. So the first cut is Chris Hayes, and you're going to hear the president in the speech last week.
One of the ironies of the attack on you, and I'm going to play what he did, was that my understanding is the program at the source of this whole thing is a program to lower costs for people. Do I have that top line correct?
You have it absolutely right.
Okay, so I'm gonna play what he had to say.
All right, just so you're clear, the way that this is being sold is all this was is the president, how mean, he's trying to, you know, hurt people who are trying to lower the cost for Americans. Isn't that what this is all about? I want to play that again because this is important here. This is just the setup is this is just to lower costs for Americans, right, Stacey?
My God.
Now, that kind of reverted somewhere else. Hang on here. Here we go.
One of the ironies of the attack on you, and I'm going to play what he did, was that my understanding is the program at the source of this whole thing is a program to lower costs for people. Do I have that top line correct?
You have it absolutely right.
Okay, so I'm gonna play what he had to say, and then I'm gonna ask you to explain what the program is that was such an obvious, ludicrous laugh line for the Republicans there. Take a listen.
$1.9 billion to recently created decarbonization of homes committee, headed up, and we know she's involved. Just at the last moment, the money was passed over by a woman named Stacey Abrams. Have you ever heard of her?
Yeah, so there was stuff that happened before Biden left office. But what I love about this, here's the Washington Post again. They did a story after the speech. They said Trump's false claim that Stacey Abrams headed a group that got $1.9 billion. Here's the problem. It's true. They acted like it wasn't true. Listen to the answer. Just listen to her answer and what she says here.
In 2023 and 2024, I led a program called Vitalizing DeSoto. We worked in a tiny town in South Georgia to demonstrate that by replacing energy inefficient appliances with efficient appliances, you can lower your cost. And in fact, we accomplished that. For 75% of the community, they got appliances that are lowering their bills right now.
All right, so you understand what's happening here? They go in, they want to help people. They want to help poor people in Georgia. The way they do this is to take taxpayer money and buy washers and dryers and dishwashers and air conditioners. And she is justifying it here.
We had one woman who saw her electric bill cut in half from $180 to $98. That's what we delivered. And based on that program, a coalition of organizations, famous organizations, came together and said to the EPA, if we can do this here, we can do this for millions more Americans. Let us invest the money of America in lowering the cost for Americans. And the EPA said, okay, great, go for it.
So lowering the cost for Americans, that's what we're investing. The EPA is handing out billions of dollars.
Oh my gosh.
So Stacey Abrams, and this is not even debatable at this point, so they can buy dishwashers, washers and dryers, air conditioners, and other appliances. By the way, it sounds great. Like, we all want to lower our bills.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
But do we have the government subsidizing this along the way? That's what they're doing. And it should be called out. It's outrageous. Uncle Ted, my good buddy Ted Nugent, coming up next.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Well, there he is, the legend, Ted Nugent, who is back with us here on a Monday afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you, Uncle Ted?
I'm doing so good. Happy springtime to you, Mark, and all across America. Not just literally springtime, but figuratively springtime to everyone.
I think it's a little unfair for me to start the week with Ted Nugent as my first guest, because how does that portend for the rest of the week? How can we outdo this segment, Uncle Ted, this afternoon?
Well, if nothing else, think of me as the jumping off point for the new level of intensity, truth, logic, common sense. Not to mention I had a bumper crop of middle fingers this year, so you can use them at your will, Mark.
We're going to do it for sure, and I want to talk about some fun stuff musically. The 50th anniversary of Stranglehold, I know you're doing some shows. We're going to talk about that. You got the Nugent Vault. We'll get to all of that. But let me ask this question here, because as you might remember, your friend Mark here in St. Louis kind of wavered a couple years ago on President Trump. And guess who was right on all of this to admit it here this afternoon? Because how has this been here the last couple of months for Ted Nugent? Unbelievable what's been achieved by this White House so far.
Well, number one, you know I'm an extremist, a radical extremist, because I dare to experiment in self-government, which drives me and inspires me to pay attention to the people who work for me, as in the U.S. government, both local, municipal, statewide, and nationwide. And so I've been paying attention for a long time, and I see that the status quo, the entrenched military-industrial congressional complex is the enemy of freedom. Are you still with me, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
When I saw come down the escalator, that escalator was like a stair step of middle fingers. And I knew that an outsider who had been successful, and I've been paying attention to the guy. I never watched the TV show he did, but I could tell that his agenda was the same as the Nugent family. And it's so radical that we actually earn our own way, live within our means, and save for a rainy day, put our heart and soul into being in the asset column, taking risks and making sacrifices. And I just knew that everything he represented was a huge sucker punch upside the head of all things status quo, which I knew was long overdue. So, being right all the time is a burden that
it's
I have to carry every day, Mark.
I usually do carry it, but that's why I had to admit to you in this moment that I was wrong. But, you know, one of the criticisms I had from that first administration is because it was promised to us that he would hire the best and brightest. And I think even President Trump would admit that there were some picks there that he would have liked a do-over on. But this time around, everyone who is in place is focused. They're really dialed in on achieving things. I heard there was a little bit of a cabinet meeting blow up on Friday, but you know what, Ted? I think that's a good thing. Let's hash it out, right?
Well, again, everybody in the Trump administration right now would qualify to be in the Ted Nugent band if they played really killer, emotional, powerful, defiant soul music. But what I saw in the first administration in the 2017 kickoff, Mark, I agree with you, but he, nor you, nor I, nor anyone could have possibly imagined the level of criminal corruption that ran amok. I mean, he actually listened to Dr. Fauci. Now, that could be a huge incriminating point, except that he figured that if a person had ascended to that point of position regarding health in America, that certainly he must have some credentials, but he didn't, and it blindsided the president. But boy, I was with him at Mar-a-Lago here recently, And boy, is he focused. Let's put it this way. If it was deer season and Donald Trump had a bow and arrow, we'd be eating venison, okay?
Oh, absolutely. Now, do you know, have you developed a relationship with Elon, or what do you think about all that?
Yeah, I think it's great. Again, every time he opens that mouth of his, it represents the truth, logic, common sense that guides your and my life. And again, the whole Department of Government Efficiency.
Yeah, yeah.
My God, that's how I've conducted everything in my life since graduating from high school, even though graduating from an American high school proved and guaranteed that I was completely illiterate on the way the world works. But again, I improvise, adapt, and overcome, and I realize that the band, if we're going to make $50 a night, we can't spend $50 a night because we got to get to the next gig. Real simple, pragmatic, utilitarian decisions and choices like that. And everything that he represents now is a concrete lesson learned from the corruption he found in the first administration. I mean, look at Mark Milley. Look at Lloyd Austin. I mean, if those guys are military leaders, then I'm Caitlyn Jenner's boy toy.
Well, I agree with that.
Those guys
yeah.
are absolute treasonous punks that destroyed the U.S. powerful military. So we are on a true North compass setting, Mark. I'm celebratory. You may hear it in my tone.
I do hear it in your tone. I think a lot of people are celebratory right now. By the way, on the spending stuff, I just covered some of this in my monologue. This is D.C. math. So here's the headline in the Washington Post. GOP spending bill would lead to $1 billion in D.C. cuts, city officials say. You know this, Ted. This is how this works. All they want to do is revert it back to the 2024 spending. That's all. That's $1 billion more for 2025. $1 billion more. And all of a sudden, it's a cut because they want to go back to 2024. This is how government works. It is not how your household works. It's not how my household works. And for the households that work that way, well, they've declared bankruptcy.
Fedzilla is a gluttonous pig. What Elon Musk is discovering with his Doge team is, I think I mentioned this in numerous conversations we've had over the years, Mark, and that is if Uncle Sam was in charge of my tour, I'd have 26 bass players, 14 drummers, 30 trucks, and an A-10 Warthog as a security guard. They would spend more money than they could possibly ever account for. So we are on the right track. But I made quite a boisterous remark recently. Have you noticed I do that? Where I said if
sometimes.
If you're saving trillions of our wasted, immorally spent tax dollars, give them back to us. Reduce the budget based on the savings and the cuts you're making, but let those of us that have busted our ass and been raped and pillaged by the IRS, let us benefit from these misspent tax dollars, because people really struggle to pay their taxes. I mean, I hang out with hardworking Americans every day, and people have been very angry for a long time, and now we are. It's irrefutable that the government has misspent our tax dollars in not just wasteful ways, but vulgar, immoral, nasty ways, and we want our damn money back.
Absolutely, and it's amazing to me, and this is one of those uncovered stories by the media. It certainly was all last year. Everyone's taxes go up if they don't settle this and keep the Trump tax cuts, you know, at least firm. So even before you get to the rest of the savings, you gotta, you know, renew those tax cuts. But the Democrats act like that's just a gift to the wealthy when everyone is affected, every working class person.
Well, here's an alert to everybody. Of course, you already know this because you represent the truth, logic, and common sense that the Nugent family functions by, and all good people in the asset column. In the asset column, because of their work ethic, their capability of choosing good over evil, right over wrong, what the government has done has so bamboozled people that everything out of the government's mouth, the media's mouth, the legacy media, up until now, everything they claim is 180 degrees opposite of the truth. So when they say that only billionaires are going to benefit from the tax breaks, just think just the opposite. Working hard, playing hard, America is going to benefit. Think of it. Social Security, no tax. Tips, no tax. Overtime, no tax. Those aren't billionaires. Those are working hard, playing hard American families.
Thank you, Ted Nugent. You're absolutely right about that. Let's talk a little music here, and we're going to segue into some things really cool, the 50th anniversary of Stranglehold. But let me just start with this related to politics. Some of us think maybe the Kennedy Center honors should feature Ted Nugent, and I believe that the president's taking that over. What do you think about that?
Boy, I'd make those white guys dance, wouldn't I?
Yes, you would.
those old stiff white shirts, they'd have to dance to my music. No, I'm, Mark, we've talked about it. I'm 76 years old, and I am drunk on my music. I don't need drugs or alcohol or any of that crap. Just my guitar tone intoxicates me. And with my bandmates, I've always been surrounded by the greatest, dedicated, hard-working, soulful, virtuoso musicians in the world. And right now in 2025, I got Johnny Big on bass and vocals and Jason Heartless on drums. And here in Texas, we're doing a bunch of Uncle Ted kicker speakeasy rock outs with John Kutz on drums. We get together, and it's out of body, playing my old songs and some new songs and playing some Chuck Berry and James Brown stuff. It's literally the greatest time in my musical life, the way these guys put their heart and soul into every jam, every night, every lick, every concert. I just get on bended knee, broken knee, by the way, they're titanium, and I thank God every day because of the soulfulness of my music. So if the Kennedy Center really wanted to celebrate soulfulness, they would have to call my number.
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk about the shows. Look, this is 50 years old, Stranglehold, unbelievable. And tell me about the Nuge Vault, because this seems really, really cool, and it opens up this week.
Yeah, there's my drummer, Jason Hart, we were rehearsing in the Michigan barn in between Guns and Ammo and Bows and Arrows and Beautiful Dead Animals on the wall. He found all these caverns, these giant supplies of tapes and recordings and videos and cassettes and reel-to-reel going all the way back to before the Amboy Dukes. And he started digging and bringing them and showing them to me and asking me, what the hell is this? And I went, oh, my God. That's the Amboy Dukes rehearsing the first record in 1967. Let's play that. So he's discovered outtakes and jam sessions and rehearsals and rough mixes and guide tracks and just a vault. It's called Nuge Vault, NugeVault.com. And it's going to be a subscription, I don't know what you call it, some kind of chemical, I don't know, radio-free Europe, I don't know, maybe Tokyo Road, some kind of technology where you can subscribe and you get all these videos and these early songs. And I do a face-to-face Zoom thing with the members of the Nuge Vault. So, yeah, it's 50 years for Stranglehold, but it's 70 years since I started playing my guitar. And the Nuge Vault is going to go back and discover unbelievable archives of my earliest days. And a lot of the stuff, as Jason brings it to my attention, I go, that's awesome. I kind of remember that. So it's a really exciting time.
Dude, that's amazing. Look, I'm on the website right now. I just signed up for the email. If you just put your email address in, you'll get updates on this. It's NugeVault.com. I would say it's a steal even for the ultimate gonzo experience because it's $2.99 a year. There's no way I'm not signing up for this. It's pretty cool. I love it.
It is cool. If I wasn't me, I'd sign up for it.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad that you guided us into this. Now, the only thing that pissed me off is I'm guessing that the shows aren't going to come close to St. Louis. You're not coming here, are you?
Well, remember, I didn't say I was going to retire from music. I said I was going to not tour because right now I'm looking at Sadie, Coco, and Jackson, my three beloved dogs. They're completely worn out, by the way. And whenever I leave the house without them, it is so heartbreaking. They are so sad. So I made the determination after the Adios Mofo tour. In fact, the reason I decided not to tour is because I'm not going to do any gigs where I can't be home. This might sound silly to some people, but not dog lovers. I won't do a gig unless I can come home to my dogs that night. So we're doing a bunch of them here in Texas that I can get to and rock my balls off and then get home to my dogs. And Mrs. Nugent, of course, is even more important than the dogs. But in
good
Michigan,
save.
We're going to do a bunch in August. And it's about me getting home to my dream life every night and still rocking out like a crazy man.
Good save on Shemaine there, Ted. That was close. Really, really close.
Yes, that was a close one.
Yeah, but you didn't do it, did you? Well, look, we're going to miss you here. I wish you would come back here. I understand completely. But go to the website. Go to NugeVault, NugeVault.com. And that's going to kick off this week. Look, it's great to catch up with you. I've been thinking about you a little bit here because of everything that's happened in the administration. I miss you dearly. You know that. So I appreciate you coming on here this afternoon.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for letting me unleash my First Amendment rights from God on your show every time, because I really appreciate it. A thank you to you and your team and everybody out there that has just kept the flames flying on my unbelievable musical career and Spirit of the Wild TV on the Pursuit Channel 8 times a week, the number one hunting show in the history of the world, and all the stuff that I'm doing. Thank you, everybody. You can go to tednugent.com and get a 50th anniversary Stranglehold t-shirt. There's so much going on. But thank you, Mark. I appreciate it, man.
All right, Ted. Hey, we'll talk soon. Thank you. Yeah, big outage today for the X, formerly Twitter. Here's Elon talking about it.
It was a massive cyber attack to try to bring down the X system with IP addresses originating in the Ukraine area.
We had a great conversation at our fish fry on Friday with George Rosenthal, who was there just to attend the fish fry, and we knew that, so we jumped on with him, or he jumped on with us, and we were talking about some of these issues. We did not know at that time that X was going to be hit. How are you this afternoon, George? Thanks for jumping on here, and I hope you had some nice fish on Friday. But this is kind of crazy. It's taken the X down several times, hasn't it?
Jeez.
Yes, it started at 6 o'clock this morning, and thanks again for having me on. Yeah, it was a great fish fry. To back up just a second, it was awesome. It was great seeing everybody live and outside of the studio. That was very, very, very cool.
Yeah, we like that.
Yeah. X, though, today has been taken down several times. And as you heard Elon talking about, it's originating from Ukraine. There is a group that's taking credit for this called Dark Storm. And basically what they did is a distributed denial of service attack. So what this is all the different computers and Internet devices like your refrigerator, certain routers, millions and millions of devices that are on the Internet that have been infected by malware that we talk about all the time, are then used as bots. It's called a botnet, and they're used basically as zombie bots that go out and then will continuously attack and hit the IP addresses of certain websites that they want to take down. And what happens is they just overload the servers, they can't handle it, and it just shuts down the whole system. So that's what they're doing right now. And Elon even said, you know, we get attacked every day, but this was done with a lot of resources. He said, again, either a large group, coordinated group, or a country is involved. And then he said that earlier today. And then all of a sudden today, he's saying it's coming out of the Ukraine. And just to give you a little bit of background on Darkstorm, these guys were founded just a couple years ago in 2023. They're recognized for some serious cyber warfare attacks. They have a pro-Palestinian agenda, and they have basically said to the world that they are going to attack every single entity that is backing Israel. So you can see kind of where this is going.
Jeez.
And yeah.
But so what happens if it goes down? It goes down at 6 a.m. Like, I've never yet experienced an outage today. So for me, Ethan, my producer, I was sending him stuff. A lot of the audio comes from X, formerly Twitter. And he said, yeah, it's been out. So every time I've tried to use it, it's fine. But is it a situation where, you know, they're hit and then they bring it back online and then something else, you know, brings it back down? Or is it just the same thing? Does that make any sense? I don't even know if I'm talking about the right thing here.
Absolutely. No, you're saying the exact right thing. In fact, what they'll do is they'll do an attack, take it down, and then there's things that you can do to combat a denial of service attack. Things like traffic filtering. Think about like a bouncer at a club. They're going to try to check every ID that of people coming in. So that's going to be a kind of a filter. There's ways you can scale up capacity in the cloud by adding more and more servers from third parties that will increase the capacity to handle the attack. You can do things like limiting the rate, meaning how often is someone able to ping that IP address. It's kind of like limiting, one order of coffee per customer at a coffee shop. So there's things you can do to stop the attack, but then what happens is they'll regroup and then send the whole millions of infected computers back at those IP addresses again and overload them again. And so it's this constant battle of trying to upgrade servers, increase capacity, checking where these attacks are coming from, and see it's truly live warfare back and forth to keep the site up and running.
Suffice it to say, if ThrottleNet was representing X, formerly Twitter, you'd be pretty damn busy today, constantly.
Absolutely, yes. This is a very busy day for every single person at X.
Wow.
This is a very, very busy day. But again, you know, this is something that Elon was saying earlier this morning. It happens all the time to them because of who they are, and obviously Elon being Elon, that they're constantly under attack. It just so happens that this one, he said, is so overwhelming that it had to be an organized group or a country that's doing this.
Yeah. George, awesome stuff. Wow. It was great to catch up with you on Friday. Thanks for the information here this afternoon. We'll see where it takes us, but I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks so much.
That's crazy. So again, kind of on and off, trying to get a handle on it. We'll keep you posted. We got Sue's News coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.